Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep on one of those details that can quietly make or break a jungle or old-school DNB track, the ride layer. Not just any ride, though, we are building a gritty, grooving, arrangement-aware ride part in Ableton Live 12 that feels like it belongs in a dusty old sampler, sitting right alongside your amens, snares, and respace. The big idea here is simple. We are not just dropping a cymbal on top of the beat. We're designing a moving rhythmic texture, something that locks with the break, pushes the drop forward, and adds that hype, analog, slightly battered energy that makes old-school DNB feel alive. So think of this as a lesson in sampling, groove, saturation, and mix placement all at once. First, choose the right source. This matters a lot more than people think. For this style, you want a ride that has a clear stick attack, a bright top, and enough body to survive processing. A short to medium decay is usually ideal. You want definition, but you don't want a giant wash of cymbal clouding up the mix. A live ride sample, a fragment from an old break, or a sampled acoustic kit ride from a dusty library all work well. What you want to avoid is something too clean, too modern, or too thin. And honestly, a slightly imperfect attack is often better. That tiny bit of roughness gives you character, before you even touch any defects. Now drag that sample into simpler. For most cases, one-shot or classic mode is the move. One-shot if you want consistent triggering, classic if you want a little more flexible playback behavior. Turn warp off unless you absolutely need timing correction. Trim the start so there's no dead air, and if you hear a click at the front, add a tiny fade or adjust the start point. Keep the voice count at 1 so the cymbal doesn't overlap itself into a wash. Leave the filter open for now. The goal at this stage is just to get a clean, usable source that responds nicely to MIDI. Next, program the actual groove. This is where the ride starts becoming musical instead of just decorative. At DNB tempos, usually around 160 to 175 BPM, you can start with a simple offbeat pulse. Put the hits on the end of each beat, or try a driving 8-note pattern, but don't just loop it straight across the bar and call it done. The secret is variation. Use velocity shaping so the part breathes. Stronger hits can land on the main anchors, and lighter hits can fill the spaces in between. A good starting range is around 95 to 115 velocity for the main hits, and maybe 60 to 85 for supporting hits. If every note is the same intensity, it starts sounding like a machine loop. If the velocities move in a controlled way, it feels like a player. And this is where the groove pool comes in. Ableton Live 12 gives you a really nice way to push the ride away from the grid without destroying the drive. Try a subtle swing or a break-inspired groove, and keep it light. Around 54 to 58% timing can already make a big difference. You want lean, not drag. In DNB, if the groove gets too loose, the forward motion disappears. You can apply the same groove to hats or other percussion layers too, but be careful with the kick and snare. If your main break already has strong identity, let it stay in control. The ride should support the break, not fight it. Now let's tighten the sample itself. In jungle and old-school DNB, cymbal tails can get messy fast. Open the amp envelope in simpler and shape it so the ride is more rhythmic and less splashy. Short attack, short to medium decay, zero sustain, and a release that's just long enough to feel natural. If the ride is hanging too long and filling up the top end, shorten it. If you want more of a ping than a crash, cut the tail down until the sample behaves like a percussive accent. This is a really important teacher note here. Transient priority matters. The first 20 to 40 milliseconds are where the sample gets its identity. If you overprocess too early and lose the stick, the ride turns into hiss. So preserve the attack, dirty the body and the tail later. Now we get to the fun part, saturation. This is where the ride starts sounding like it's coming through a beaten-up sampler or an old mixer with some smoke in it. Drop in saturator first. A few dB of drive, maybe plus 2 to plus 6, can add density and attitude. Turn soft clip on. If the ride gets too brittle, back off the drive a little and do more tone shaping afterward. A really solid chain is saturator into EQ8 into drum bus or utility. Drum bus can add nice forward energy, especially with a little drive and soft clipping. Just keep an eye on it. The goal is grit and punch, not white noise fizz. A little goes a long way here. After that, use EQ8 to fit the ride into the mix. High pass somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz to clear out low mud. If the cymbal gets harsh, look around the 3 to 6K Hz area. And if you need a little more air, a gentle shelf around 8 to 12K Hz can help. But don't boost the top until you've cleaned the ugly stuff. Always solve harshness before you add shine. And remember, Solo is only half the story. A ride that sounds amazing by itself can still be too aggressive once the whole drum kit and bass line are in. So always check it in context. For space, keep it tiny. Jungle rides usually live in a small room, not a giant lush reverb wash. A subtle hybrid reverb send, maybe a short room or chamber with a very low mix, can add a little air and glue. But the moment the reverb starts sounding obvious, you've gone too far. Think embedded, not floating. Now, the advanced part. Make the ride interact with the brake. This is where the part starts feeling authored rather than pasted in. Let the ride hit after a snare, mute a few hits during dense fills, or shorten the tail before a transition. You can even automate velocity or filter cutoff to create movement across sections. This is why it helps to think in phrases instead of loops. Build your ride around 2, 4, or 8 bar ideas. For example, you might run a fuller groove for 4 bars, remove every 4th hit for the next 4, then bring in a stronger accent right before a drop. That kind of shape makes the whole arrangement feel alive. And if you want even more old-school character, resample it. Seriously, this is one of the best moves for this style. Route the ride to a new audio track, record a few bars of the processed result, and then chop that audio. Once you've printed it, you can reverse one hit, clip down a tail, add tiny fades, or slice it into a drum rack for new variations. That kind of commitment to audio is a big part of classic sampling culture. In the mix, watch your width. People often make the mistake of widening top percussion too early. Sometimes a narrower ride actually feels more vintage and focused, especially if the rest of the kit is already spread out. Utility is your friend here. Try keeping it around 80 to 120% width depending on the mix, and if the stereo image gets harsh or messy, pull it back. For arrangement, use the ride as a tool for energy changes. In the intro, filter it down and keep it lo-fi. In the build, bring in more hits or open the top end. At the drop, go full groove with saturation. In a breakdown, remove it or reduce it to occasional ticks. Then on the second drop, push it harder, dirtier, and a little shorter for impact. Automation is huge here. You can automate saturation drive, filter cutoff, reverb send, high shelf, or even track volume. A small automation move before a drop can make the return hit way harder. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the ride too loud. That's the fastest way to thin out the rest of the drums. Second, don't pile on too much high end, or the whole track gets fatiguing. Third, don't drown it in reverb. This style wants edge and motion, not a glossy wash. Fourth, don't leave the velocity flat. And fifth, don't ignore arrangement. A ride that stays identical for 64 bars will get boring even if it sounds good. If you want a darker, heavier vibe, keep the ride more industrial than shiny. Use moderate saturation, a little soft clipping, and maybe a subtle transient push. You can also automate a low-pass filter into the drop for that classic reveal. That moment where the filter opens up can be huge in jungle and DNB. And if the sample still feels a little too clean, layer it with a tiny bit of noise, a snap tat, or a short crash fragment. Keep it low in the mix. The point is to add grit and perceived energy, not clutter. Let's wrap this into a practical workflow. Load a ride into Simpler. Program a 4-bar clip at around 170 BPM. Place offbeat hits with a few syncopated accents. Shape the velocity so it moves across the bars. Add a subtle groove pull swing. Then process it with saturator, EQ8, drum bus, and a small room reverb send. Duplicate the clip and make one version brighter and more open, and another version darker, shorter and more saturated. Use the brighter one for the main groove and the darker one for transitions. If you can make those two versions feel like they belong in the same track, you're doing it right. So the mindset here is this. In jungle and old school DNB, the ride is not just top-end decoration. It's part of the rhythmic engine. Shape it carefully, give it groove, give it character, and let it evolve with the arrangement. That's how you get that raw rolling energy that makes the whole track feel alive. All right, next up, if you want, we can turn this into a rack preset recipe, a screen-by-screen Ableton workflow, or a MIDI pattern guide with exact ride placements at 170 BPM.